Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
7:03 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. I am broadcasting live from George M. Steinbrenner Field in Tampa, Florida. One of my favorite places. I didn't realize how you guys don't realize how happy I am this week. Two of my favorite places outside of Baltimore. I get to go back to back.
I know, it's amazing.
Tampa to New York. This is, and you're paying me for this, but nonetheless. Some of you are probably thinking, man, it's Juneteenth, Rob. It's a federal holiday, a holiday that you should recognize. Why are you working? Well, I believe in optics as well. I'm traveling with this baseball team, and they only have me to do my job here. Just like Kevin Brown only to do his job and Brian Roberts. They don't come with fill-ins. So being on this road, if I don't do it, then who's going to do it? Take it off that one day. If I'm at home, maybe a different story. But on the road, it's just me. So, well, why is that bad optics? I can't say a day is so important for me to take off that day and be off on the Fan, and then you turn on a pregame show, O's Extra pregame show, and not see my ruggedly handsome face. You know what I mean? Why was it not important tonight when it was important today? So I chose to take another day, and in lieu of that, I chose also to talk about why this day is important to me. And 1776, 4th of July, I'm an American, so I recognize the 4th of July. I'm not anti-4th of July because my people weren't free then. But you got to understand something. On that day when America was declared its independence, you know, for me, it was like being a Browns fan at a Super Bowl celebration. I'm happy for y'all. That's fine. But I never experienced that type of joy. That's what that was. Because black people were still enslaved at the time. January 1st, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. The problem with that is the folks in Texas, some 250,000 African-Americans, didn't know they were free. Think about that. You went over 2 years being free, not knowing you were free. So the Union soldiers arrived in Galveston, Texas. It was June 19th, 1865, which was 160 years ago today, and told everybody, hey, listen, you guys don't know this, but you're free. And from that point on, you know, black people as a nation knew they were free. And why? And somebody said, well, that's fine. I mean, why is that a big deal? Everybody else knew they were free. Do you truly have freedom if everybody doesn't know it? So that day is important for that reason. And some feel, I feel sometimes, guys, and maybe you can speak to this, when we can have Cinco de Mayo and it's okay, it's cool, and I celebrate that. St. Patrick's Day and it's okay, it's cool, we celebrate that. But whenever there's a black-related holiday, there's a pushback to that, and it's not okay. I'm not anti those other cultural holidays, but for some reason, whenever there's a black cultural holiday, I remember when Martin Luther King became a holiday that old, when it became a federal holiday. And there was so much pushback to that. I remember naturally because only 4 years ago when this holiday, Juneteenth, became a holiday and the pushback to that. If you recall, it was pushback to that in our company. You guys were in that meeting. When I asked, hey, are we going to recognize this? And it was shunned and like almost as if, why would we? Well, why would we not? Because we are better, I believe, as a country when all of us have the same opportunities.
Rob, with what you're saying, do you believe, all right, so since in like 50 years, do you think we're not talking about it this way, that it becomes more of a, you know what I'm saying, like a tradition? Like the more and more you do it, it becomes something that people are going to get involved with. And I'm assuming that may have happened with like St. Patty's Day as that grew. And
it's
and,
funny you say that, Jeremy. You know why? Robert Scott, a good friend of mine since high school, he and I were on the phone about a week ago. We were talking about this because I said to him, I said, well, how do you think it would be perceived if I'm on the air that day? And he and I talked about it. We talked about it, you know, understanding the situation. Because, listen, I understand my assignment. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. I understand what my assignment is. I've known my assignment for 21 years being on air. I know my assignment. And we talked about it. I said, you know what? What I'm embarrassed about is this. How do we recognize Cinco de Mayo? And he and I talked about it. And we vowed that day that this year would be the last year that we didn't do something big. I'm sorry, not Cinco de Mayo, for Juneteenth.
Oh, okay.
Because we said Cinco de Mayo and St. Patrick's Day are celebrated. People go all out. But what's being done for Juneteenth? Throwing a party is not celebrating Juneteenth, not recognizing Juneteenth. That's not a party. Hey, come on down to this club, you know, 2-for-1 drinks, yada, yada. That's not recognizing the day. That's profiting off of the day. And we vowed that day we were talking on the phone, that'd be the last day that we didn't truly recognize Juneteenth. Robert is one of these innovative, forward-thinking people, and I can make some things happen on my end. And we vowed that from 2025 will be the last year that we didn't do everything in our power that Baltimore wasn't truly recognizing this day. It's not just a day to have off. It's not. When you offer Thanksgiving, you do something about it. When you offer Christmas, you do something about it. But for some reason, we don't do enough, in my opinion, for King's birthday, which the city does something to do a parade. And we do nothing, in my opinion, really, that's truly in the spirit of celebrating Juneteenth. And again, having party and having sales and all this, that's not celebrate. That's not recognizing what the day is. I mean, Jeremy, right now there are people who truly forgot what Christmas is all about because for generations we made it about getting gifts.
And do you think it's appropriate to have sales and parties on Memorial Day?
Well, I was just going to say, like, that's kind of what people do. Like, Memorial Day turned into a party weekend instead of what it should be for.
Instead of what it should be. But yes, Memorial, where, hey, what's going on? Cheers. It's Memorial Day.
Yeah, let's have a barbecue and get drunk.
And you do that on 4th of July because that's celebrating independence. That's probably what you did, everybody did on that day in 1776. Celebrating, got drunk, but not on Memorial Day. So it's the same thing with me with Juneteenth. It's a day of celebration when the people as a whole recognize that they were free. And I can imagine back in that day, a lot of slave owners, you know, sort of like that scene in Ray Charles' movie when the guy told Ray, it's cold out there. And some of the slave owners try to, hey, it's cold out there. I've been good to you. Do you really want? And we still see that now in society today. You know what I mean? Why would you leave this? You're sitting home. I'm giving you something for free. You get that check. It's automatic. Why would you want to go out there and struggle? We see that today. Same thing.
Oh, you mean
when we get caught up into that?
What Malcolm X predicted in 1964?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I want to use it as a day of education. And I feel if I'm going to work today, I'm going to say something about it. This is normally the segment when we go inside the clubhouse. But I felt this was more important because it's a day that means a lot to me. And again, the three of you know, we kind of went toe-to-toe with the guy who was kind of our boss. Well, not kind of, was our boss at the time. And I'm like, this is something that's huge to people in your company, and it shouldn't just be huge to black people.
Yeah.
Because, again, when everybody is afforded the same opportunity, we all benefit.
Rob, I was reading about, and I didn't know this, it said the symbolism of red on Juneteenth and why there's a lot of red foods that are eaten. It's supposed to symbolize the blood that was shed by slaves. Yeah. And I, like, as you read more about it, I was saying this, like, there were so many things that I felt like growing up that I wasn't taught and I didn't know. I mentioned the Tulsa massacre that I learned about watching TV. I was watching a TV show. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And then I'm like, oh, that was real?
That's so real.
Yeah, little things that aren't taught, but I don't want to say important things.
And I'll say this, Jeremy, in closing, because I know we're going along on this. I came up at Matthew A. Henson Elementary School, which was named after a man who discovered the North Pole. I learned a lot of black history. I've learned more black history at that school than most did in Baltimore City Public Schools. However, I didn't learn about Juneteenth, what we were really about, until I moved down to South Carolina. My mother-in-law is huge on Juneteenth. That's her day. Until I met Ida, I didn't really, really know about Juneteenth. She schooled me about it. And I remember the first phone call I made was to her when Joe Biden made it a federal holiday in 2021. I called her and said, man, you won? Because that's something that she had wanted for years. So it's not just you. A lot of us don't really know because we weren't truly educated. It's almost as if Black history is something that you want to minimize by teaching everybody about the same story. That's why in February I try to come with the most obscure people that you can think of, because we learn about the same people over and over, and we put that history in a box, which, in my opinion, minimizes our impact in society. I'm done preaching. Shovels at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, NBA Finals Game 6 preview. Is it over tonight? Jeremy Kahn says so. And I'll tell you what we think up next on The Fan. Same thing.
Oh, you mean
when we get caught up into that?
What Malcolm X predicted, 1964?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I want to use it as a day of education. And I feel if I'm going to work today, I'm going to say something about it. This is normally the segment when we go inside the clubhouse, but I felt this was more important because it's a day that means a lot to me. And again, the three of you know, we kind of went toe to toe with the guy who was kind of our boss. Well, not kind of, was our boss at the time. And I'm like, look, this is something that's huge to people in your company, and it shouldn't just be huge to Black people.
Yeah.
Because again, when everybody is afforded the same opportunity, we all benefit.
Rob, I was reading about, and I didn't know this, it said the symbolism of red on Juneteenth and why there's a lot of red foods that are eaten. It's supposed to symbolize the blood that was shed by slaves. Yeah. And as you read more about it, I was saying this, like there were so many things that I felt like growing up that I wasn't taught and I didn't know. I mentioned the Tulsa massacre that I learned about watching TV. I was watching a TV show. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And then I'm like, oh, that was real?
That's real.
Yeah, little things that aren't taught, but I don't want to say this, but important things.
And I'll say this, Jeremy, in closing, because I know we're going along on this. I came up at Matthew A. Henson Elementary School, which was named after a man who discovered the North Pole. I learned a lot of Black history. I've learned more Black history at that school than most did in Baltimore City Public Schools. However, I didn't learn about Juneteenth, what we were really about, until I moved down to South Carolina. My mother-in-law is huge on Juneteenth. That's her day. Until I met Ida, I didn't really, really know about Juneteenth. She schooled me about it. And I remember the first phone call I made was to her when Joe Biden made it a federal holiday in 2021. I called her and said, man, you won? Because that's something that she had wanted for years. So it's not just you. A lot of us don't really know because we weren't truly educated. It's almost as if Black history is something that you want to minimize by teaching everybody about the same story. That's why in February I try to come with the most obscure people that you can think of, because we learn about the same people over and over, and we put that history in a box, which, in my opinion, minimizes our impact in society. I'm done preaching. Shovels at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, NBA Finals Game 6 preview. Is it over tonight? Jeremy Kahn says so. And I'll tell you what we think up next on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn on this Thursday. Ed Norris likes to call this day
Friday, babe.
NBA Finals Game 6 tonight, 8:30 on ABC. The Thunder at the Indiana Pacers. You think it closes out tonight, Jeremy? I think the Pacers are in a better situation if Halliburton does not play.
I mean, yeah, if he's
You know
not-
why? Because I think they're good enough to compete with the Thunder, and I think they're better off at if they go into the game knowing that they don't have Halliburton. If you go into the game relying on him, then that's what could screw
Well, I think he could also hurt them being hurt. You know, if he's injured, obviously, and if, you know, he's injured and he's going to play at a certain percentage of his full capacity, it could really hurt them. So I think you're right.
Yeah. I think I know this sounds weird, Jeremy. If Halliburton starts, they could lose because he's not ready. If Halliburton sits, I'm not going to say they could win because you're not making a decision at all.
Yeah.
They win if Halliburton doesn't start tonight.
Here's my take. If Halliburton doesn't start, they lose. If Halliburton starts, they lose. Either way, they lose. And by the way, that's not even my favorite play tonight because, like, all the things you're talking about, we get into a game, one of the most important games, and you might not have the head of the snake, meaning Halliburton here. So then you go to T.J. McConnell, who is very capable of carrying a team and running the offense. But you love him coming off the bench because of his energy. It changes everything in this game. So now when you're looking at it, are we going to put Lou Dort on T.J. and try to lock him down? Or how do we work this if he can't give it a go? And I know what everybody's saying. I still think he tries. And if he tries and it's not right, then you're putting your team behind the eight ball and it gets even worse. I think this is a lower scoring game. The totals were like 8 or 9 points higher going back to the previous four games before game five.
So if he starts, they lose. If he doesn't start, they lose. What about if it's in between?
Well, let's say he starts the first half and then doesn't start the second half, then I give them a better chance of losing still. I hate saying this because I like the Pacers. I mean, this is a great story.
A better chance of losing.
But they,
yeah, hey, guys, Jeremy Kahn gave us a better chance of losing.
Yeah. Sometimes when you win, you really lose. And sometimes when you lose, you really win. And sometimes when you win or lose, you actually tie. I think there was a really smart Puerto Rican lady
skater.
That said that.
Yeah, yeah, the skater. The roller skater. And a game show contestant.
Yeah, the Stuckey brothers. No, but again, when you're watching basketball, these guys are creatures of habit and understanding what's going on. And now you're in the biggest game. It's an elimination game. And you have to change up what you're going to do. That's a lot to ask of a team, even being at home, to try to beat the best team in the NBA. That's why I think it's over with. But you still play the game, guys. Mm-hmm. Like, teams can get hot. Weird things happen. I'm just saying I think it's over.
You still play the game? Really, Jeremy? So, based on your prediction, David Stern's not going to call. I mean, not David Stern.
I mean, if he calls, we got issues.
Adam Silver.
Adam Silver doesn't call and say, you know, my con said, this is not a game tonight. Let's just go home.
No. Those guys go out there and bust their ass. Like, Pascal Siakam thinks they have a chance. Miles Turner. Hell, we get a little bit more Benny Mathurin. Yeah, like, they'll have opportunities in the game. It's just going to matter of how do you deal with having the guy that's basically been running your offense the entire postseason.
Ed, mm-hmm. Your thoughts?
I think they're done tonight, the Pacers. I think this is it. And it's the Halliburton thing aside, I just think they're better than I thought they were going to be, frankly, because I never saw them coming beginning of the season. I thought the Knicks were going to take them out when they had the big comeback. After they blew game one, it's like they just choked in the game one. They just took them lightly. Then they come back. But the Pacers are fast. They play fast. Talented team. I just think the Thunder's a great defensive team. It's a lot of talent. Young talent's going to be around for a while. I just think they have everything going for them right now.
Look,
I think they take it tonight, and that's that.
I think the Pacers have a better shot of winning than the Orioles scoring 8 runs in 1 inning. You know, like and maybe blowing that lead. I think they have a better shot than that. But that happened last night, and we wouldn't have expected that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why you play. Like, again, as confident as I am in this play, I was confident in game one, and they won outright. It was just a goofy game. Go ahead.
Let me say this, man. We don't have to talk baseball and get into 8:15. That loss hurt last night. See, you guys can turn the channel if you want to go to the bathroom. I can't. So that loss hurt last night. Can we not bring it up until we got to talk about it again at 8:15? I'm the guy that when they win, I'm texting Joe, why don't we have more Orioles segments? Why aren't we talking more Orioles baseball? When they lose, especially like last night, Joe, why are we talking Orioles tomorrow? I don't want to talk Orioles. I'm that guy. When they lose, I don't watch MLB Network. When they win, I do. I'm that kind of fan. I'm going to watch them all the time. But I can't watch other people talk about them or listen to other people talk about them when they lose.
Yeah, again, you're going to need they have stars on the Pacers. They're going to need guys to step up. Mm-hmm. But, like, you're going up against the MVP, the best team in the league. The only thing that you really have going for you is you're at home. And if you can feed off the crowd, I think you can, you know, kind of weather a storm to a degree.
Yeah.
Look, the Thunder are a six-point favorite. It hasn't budged much. In my opinion, I think Halliburton gives it a go. I don't know that he finishes the game if it's that bad. But, yeah, man, I'm looking forward to watching it. But if it turns into what I think it might be tonight, I might be turning it off at halftime.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you think it's that bad?
It's a closeout game. And again, if Halliburton's not right, you're asking a lot of the other guys to step up and change their roles. Very capable of doing it. They've done it all season. But it's the biggest game of the year. It's winner stay home.
It's possible, but not probable.
Yeah.
Is that right? Did I say that right?
Yeah, that's, yeah.
It's possible, but not probable.
So you're saying there's a chance. Yes,
we give out shovels at 8 o'clock, mm-hmm. but on the other side, is Jair Alexander the move that puts the Ravens over the hump? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
I'm just really excited about it. I had a chance to sit down with him today, which was an awesome time. And he's excited to be here. We're excited to have him. He had been kind of behind the scenes in the works a little bit, and I know he wanted to be here, and we wanted him here, you know. So for it to work out the way it did, made Lamar happy, you know. I think it made everybody happy. It's just an opportunity to become a better team in that sense today. So we're really excited about it.
Let the Ravens church say amen. Jair Alexander, a member of the Baltimore Ravens for at least 1 year. I think this thing's going to end up being a little bit longer than that. Because I think this young kid still, this young 28-year-old, still has some gas left in his tank. Had a couple of injury-plagued years, but he will be fine. He will be just fine, and the Baltimore Ravens will love having him and love what he brings to the table. Is this, however, Jeremy, the move that puts the Ravens over the hump?
I think so. I mean, it feels like it should be with the talent you have here. Again, like I feel like if you look at this team, the two biggest question marks you might have is, how's the kicker going to look? And again, I brought it up earlier, the Will linebacker position, which I still think is fine. It's just not as good as everything else we've seen on this team. They're stacked. And if they stay healthy, there should be no excuses this year, man. They can't have the slow start on defense like they had last year. There's too much talent here for that to happen. The scheme that they've used, that Mike McDonald scheme that he kind of developed, and they still keep some of the Greg Roman running game scheme. You find something that works, keep doing it. I mean, you don't have to be the originator of it. I mean, what was it? Bill Walsh invented the West Coast offense. There are a lot of other teams that probably perfected it too. So I look at things like that, and I feel like this team has way too much talent to fail, but we've seen it happen before.
Ed, here's the problem I have with that comment or thinking that way. Didn't last year we thought Derrick Henry was the move to put us over?
Yeah.
Did we think that?
And did he not contribute? And did he not make a difference? Of course. But it
didn't put us over.
No, there's other reasons for that. It's not, yeah. I mean, we went through them earlier. It's just, it's like a comedy of errors, the way they've been losing postseason games. You know, you're a much better team, I think, by far, than the teams in the AFC now.
Yeah.
And it includes the Chiefs. You have a better roster. And you have a better roster than I think the Eagles may have more talent, but we have a better quarterback, and that counts for a huge portion of the roster. Our quarterback is head and shoulders better than the Eagles' quarterback, so therefore we have a better roster. So then we have the best roster in the NFL. Yet they still don't get it done, and that's my problem. It's not. It was Derrick Henry. Now it's Jair. Now it's you have everybody. I just went out. We have 6 first round draft picks on defense. 6. I mean, what's going on here? Like, come on, guys. You got all the talent in the world. You pick up DeAndre Hopkins. Let's not forget about D-Hop. He's one of the best receivers in the NFL in his prime, and he's still got plenty of football left in him. Like, you got so much talent now.
Mm. I agree. They've had so much talent last year. They just add this collection of talent. To me, Jair Alexander, Jeremy, represents yet another reason they should be put over the hump.
Yeah.
Not the reason, yet another reason. I mean, it's a collection of talent and stars. Think about this. Any place else, if Jair Alexander signs, he probably is one of the top stars on that team. Not this team.
No.
You've been in the Pro Bowl. You've been in the Pro Bowl. So what? We've been in the Pro Bowl. Are you an all-pro? You want an MVP?
Right.
I mean, that's what it is on this team.
You know how I feel, though? Like, it's, I said it yesterday. They got themselves a dog, man. And like, when they got Marcus Peters, I said the same damn thing. Yeah, like, you
are you afraid to see something bad about Jair Alexander?
I didn't say anything about bad about him. Shut up, man.
You do the whole Marcus Peters thing again?
Where are you from?
All right, who's tougher? Alexander or Peters?
Hey, don't even, Alexander's here. Don't even start with Marcus Peters, man. Where are you from?
What? That's, went up in the stands.
Where am I from? Middle River? Have you ever heard of it? White Marsh? Nottingham? Oakland. Big deal. Oakland. Compton. Have you ever been in the middle of all the rivers? No, it's like, but he was that guy. He just didn't care. It's like, if you disrespect him or he felt disrespected, he's going to let you know how he felt about it. So, and I think Jair's that same guy. He's just an absolute dog. He's going to get in wide receivers' heads. He's going to talk so much trash.
That he does.
Like, I love the guys that are out there and they're so confident. They talk that smack and they can back it up. And even when they don't back it up, they continue talking. And yeah, that would make exactly. me even angrier. Exactly. Than I'm busting your ass.
They get burned for 80 yards and they'll tell you, you ain't going to do it again.
How about the time that you outrun the guy and you're wide open and the quarterback overthrows you. And then he's doing the safe thing or like it's incomplete. You know, he's waving his arms like, I had your ass beat. Nope. Incomplete.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. He is that guy. He's the guy. Do you agree with this, Ed? That if he wasn't on your team, his antics you would hate, but would have on your team, you embrace.
Oh, absolutely. He's definitely that guy. We've had that guy. He's the best player in the team's history. People around the league probably don't like him because they've had arguments in his favor. But I mean, people like Ray Lewis or Hines Ward. I mean, these are the guys that you hate them when they're not yours, but when they're yours, we close ranks, man. My guy.
Yeah.
I think fans are going to love him.
I think so. I think so because this is, we try to pride ourselves on being this blue collar city. Okay, whatever. This city is, we are so, so much swagger in this city, so much pride in this city. It's even if it is a blue collar city, you know, we bump our gums and pound our chests a lot when it comes to our sports teams.
There's no question. And again, like, you almost like your players to kind of feel like the city, right? You look at Pittsburgh, you look at Baltimore in certain areas, you think blue collar. And in that hard-nosed football, we were always thought about being defensive first more than offensive. The league's changed. And you're watching this now where, yeah, I think the offense might be the best offense in football. I got news for you. It might be the best defense in football now, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go downtown to the Orioles game and say Mike Schmidt was the best third baseman of all time. See what happened.
Yeah.
Go somewhere and say somebody else was a better quarterback of the later generation. Then see what happens. That's just how this city is, man. They just, give somebody else the title of being the best inside linebacker of all time. You might hate Ray Lewis, but, hey, you're going to defend him. That's just how this is. And I think you get to bring a guy like Jair in, has that kind of swagger, that kind of personality, it will be embraced, and people will say this. He plays like a Raven, even though he's been playing like that his entire career. That's just how it is. 410-583-1057, that's the number. We're giving out shovels at 8 o'clock. I think you're going to like my shovel, Ed. I have a sneaky suspicion you'll like mine. But on the other side, we want to hear from you. Is Jair Alexander the move that puts the Ravens over the hump? If you don't think so, we still want to hear that too. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
7:46 in the a.m. Is Jair Alexander the move that puts the Ravens over the top? Let's go to the phone lines, 410-583-1057. Let's go to Joppa and get Trey. Good morning to you, Trey.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Love the Jair signing. I think it keeps Marlon in the slot, too, which I really, really do like. As far as getting over the hump, I think it's just got to be complimentary football at the right time, real timely. One thing I will say, though, is, and I called a couple of weeks ago and made this point, we should need less from Lamar. Lamar shouldn't have to be an MVP. Everybody wants to say how good the roster is. Show me. Come on, defense. I need turnovers. You know, I need short fields. Make the game easier for the offense. God forbid the defense win us a game. God forbid, you know, we catch a late game interception. Or score a couple defensive touchdowns.
This defense shut the Chiefs out in the second half of the playoff game. I mean, the defense has done their job, man.
But this is what I'm saying, though. Josh Allen in the playoff game had an 86 quarterback rating with no touchdowns. We lose that game. If Lamar doesn't play at an MVP level, can we get three turnovers like they did?
Do that? No, you kind of proven Ed's point. They played well last year. Down the stretch, you just said Josh Allen, the MVP, had an 86 quarterback passer rating. How's that bad defense? So they played. I agree with you. The defense has played well.
They've done their job, bro.
It goes back to what he said at the beginning, situational football.
But hold on. In that first half, that defense was trash in that game. They gave up all those points that they didn't need to score in the second half to win.
Let's go to Eli in Parkville. What's up, Eli?
Hey, good morning, fellas. I'm not sure. I'm not going to say he will or he won't, but the secondary did improve. I just wonder if they have enough cap space to go out and get Clowney, because I would like another edge rusher.
I don't know that they need Clowney. Clowney wasn't even good last year, and I'm not saying he can't come here and be good. It was a Panthers defense that was very wanting, and they didn't want him back. I think you're just rolling with what you have, and you're hoping that Green is the player that you think he can be, even in just if he's a limited capacity and he's out there in just pass rushing situations only until he's ready to be an everyday player. I mean, you got Oweh coming into a contract season, which I love that. It's like, hey, go out there and prove it. Make me pay you or make somebody else pay you. I like the roster the way it is. I don't think that you need to, again, will linebacker is something that I think is a question right now. Kicker is a question, just because you're changing from the guy you've had for so many years that was just so reliable until last year, and now you're going with a rookie, and you got to see what he can do.
And also, I mean, we keep talking about Clowney. Clowney has had, 17 sacks in his last 3 years combined? Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about getting that pass rusher. Yeah, you need a pass rusher.
I thought he was better against the run than he was getting after the quarterback.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's almost like we're looking at South Carolina Gamecock Clowney.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, his career high in sacks is 9.5. He did it here, and he did it in 2017, but that's his career high. The guy has 58 sacks in 11 years. That's not a dominant pass rusher. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. What's up, Rashawn?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Morning.
Good morning.
Hey, remember I called y'all last week, man, when he got released by the Packers and was like, man, hopefully the Ravens can pick him up.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I remember that. But I got a chance to see him play before, man, down there when the Packers beat the Cowboys.
What does he look like, man? Because none of us ever saw him play. Tell us a little bit about him.
He's decent, man, but he run his mouth a lot, man. Like, we actually threatened him after the game, man. Like,
oh, my God.
Him, we was talking smack. You know what I mean? We were just a couple of the Cowboys fans. Now, we was like, you know, the Packers was going off the field. We were just talking smack to a bunch of the players, and someone was yapping back, and he was, you know, giving it back to us and everything.
Who won that game?
The Packers won.
That's why you're talking trash, Rashawn.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you're talking trash.
It was a lucky game, though, man. You know, they ain't get far. Hey. You see what happened next week to them, though.
Rashawn, when do we get to see the next BGE World Star video? I mean, because you're out there recording all these fights, man.
Hey, I got one I want to release, but Dustin don't want me to release it, man. Dustin got into a fight, man. But he actually won this one, though. So, but he said don't release it, though.
He said he won this one.
Yeah, you know, he like...
Justin, what's he like 3-7?
Dustin loses a lot of fights.
I mean, you know, he just picked the wrong opponents to fight, man. You know, he's fighting big bouncers and big people. I'm like, what do you want to... come out of your size, man. Like, at least.
He said, go beat up a little person. What are you talking about? Come on, man. It's, you know, but it is funny, though, because it does feel like there are people that say trouble finds me, and I don't know why, and... you seem to find it. So.
No, this is, no. Next month. I think it's the 27th of July. Dustin's fighting Peter Dinklage.
Is he really? Oh, that's great.
Thanks a lot, Rashawn. 410-583-1057 is the number. Let's go to Dundalk and get Wayne. What's up, Wayne?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Morning. Good morning.
Hey, a couple weeks ago, Rob, I called. I told you I felt better about, you know, the best about the Ravens than I've ever felt, man. And you asked if I felt that way last year. And I didn't, and if you don't allow me, I'll just tell you a couple of reasons. Is, you know, last year, we didn't know, you know, we thought there was a lot of speculation whether Derrick Henry was getting older, how he was going to react. You know, that now we know how he reacts. There was three or four games, the first three or four games, we lost last year. The defense couldn't do nothing. You know what I mean? They're giving up all these yards. I don't think you'll have that problem. This team, it kind of reminds me of the team we won the first Super Bowl. You have a mix of some veterans that can work with the younger guys. You got cornerback Nate Wiggins, who's got some experience now. You got D-Hop. Like, I just think that all we had so many questions last year.
Let me ask you something, Wayne, if you don't mind. You said last year you questioned whether or not Derrick Henry had anything left. Am I right? Am I representing that right?
A lot of people did.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
yeah.
So why is it? He was more productive coming to Baltimore than D-Hop is coming to Baltimore. So why is it kind of celebrated that D-Hop is coming, but question that a man who was one of the better running back, what was number two in rushing in the NFL the year before he came to Baltimore?
I thought that Derrick Henry was coming here to get a Super Bowl, and I felt great about him coming here. But I think a lot of the media really not knowing because he wasn't here the year before. I think we all – I didn't know if that makes sense, which is fair.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call, my man. You guys got to help me out because I don't remember too many people doubting Derrick Henry's impact with the Ravens before the season started. I thought people were really like talking about how dangerous that backfield would be now with Henry.
Yeah. I think there were, I don't remember hearing anyone, but there may have been a small minority out there talking about it. There are some people that look at running backs at that age and it's just a no for them. Across the board, but
I'm some people, but I think Henry's different.
Yep.
I am some people. I'm that person. I don't sign running backs to a second contract. I don't believe in 30-year-old running backs. I don't believe running backs are that important to the offense. But then there's Derrick Henry and Christian McCaffrey, and you know, yeah. Then there's exceptions to every rule.
Rob, what do you mean you don't believe in it? I synced it last year. There were a bunch of them.
I saw it too, Will. Derrick Henry. Exactly. He is – there's certain guys, man, that just are the exceptions, man. Derrick Henry goes against everything that I believe in running backs.
But you know what's funny, Rob? Like, Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry are exceptions to the rule of getting paid as a running back. Saquon having some injury history, but knowing that the talent's there. And with Derrick Henry, the worry was, oh, my God, he's turning 30, and that's the benchmark for when running backs die. And then what happened? Because of those two anomalies, running backs are getting paid now again for a short period of time.
And I would be the guy that stood on the table and said, I do not pay running backs. And someone said, Saquon Barkley's contract is up. Pay him, but I do not pay running back.
That's kind of what you've been saying for the last 8 years.
Exactly.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
But I never argued those guys getting paid. I'm not stupid. You know, I don't pay him. That's different.
Right.
410-583-1057. That's the number. The Orioles have 42 losses this year. was last night's the worst of the 42? We'll talk about that at 8:30, but on the other side, Ed Norris giving out shovels.
Yeah. I'm going to give it to a legacy NFL player who doesn't seem to realize all eyes are on him.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS1057 The Fan. Shovels next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.